Pittsburgh, I love ya. This is Brian Edward, and you're listening to Berg Vivant, Pittsburgh's cultural talk magazine, delivered digitally, straight up, shaken, and stirred. Tonight's broadcast brought to you by our spectacular sponsors and strategic partners, Zafalo's Banquet and Event Center, Carnegie, Pennsylvania, one of the most beautiful and unique venues in the greater Pittsburgh area for weddings, corporate dinners, fundraisers, and more. Visit clubzafalo.com. Off the Wall Theater, enlivening, educating, and entertaining audiences in the Pittsburgh region. View their current season at insideoffthewall.com. Arcade Comedy Theater, hosting local and national comedians, sketch comedy, improv, and more. 811 Liberty Avenue, downtown. Be sure to like them on Facebook or find them at arcadecomedytheater.com. Berg Vivant is a proud supporter of Firefly Arts, creating opportunities and support for families living with autism through innovative arts programming. You can learn more and show your support at fireflyarts.org. Jazz vocalist Donna Bailey.
Hi, Brian.
Hello, Donna.
How are you, darling?
Oh, I'm wonderful. Now that you're here, this is fantastic.
Thank you.
You know, jazz diva is a term that gets thrown around. How do you feel about the label diva?
Used to be a negative connotation, but the Pittsburgh divas, I believe, have changed that reputation. And it started about 6-7 years ago when they used to have Diva Night, Diva Tuesdays at Blue, mm-hmm. up in the North Hills. People would come from everywhere to every Tuesday night. They knew that a different vocalist would be there, and it was Diva Tuesday. After the first year...
But no, really, isn't every Tuesday Diva Tuesday for you?
Every day of the week is Diva Day.
There you go.
It's really nice, though. The jazz vocalists in the town got to know each other, and we've become very close friends, and we support each other, and it's really great. It's great to be a Pittsburgh diva.
Now, your career, though, began outside of Pittsburgh. Is that correct?
It did. I'm originally from Princeton, West Virginia. And I became a nurse before I was old enough to buy a martini. And I've been in healthcare all my professional life. I started singing when I was a child, though. My mom tells the story about how she couldn't wait to hear me say, "Mommy." And I stood up, pulled myself up with the playpen, and sang the entire jingle to the Campbell Soup song. And it broke her heart. And there was a reporter in Swickley that was covering my concert at this Sweetwater Arts Center, and she asked me about different things, and that was her title in the newspaper, Singer Disappoints Mother. It grabbed people's attention.
I'm going to pause because you know what?
You're talking to you about a bow tie. Oh,
wow.
Thank goodness for editing, right?
That's right.
Well, you know, what was it? Coco Chanel always said, take one accessory off before you leave the house.
That's right.
So, I guess this is mine today. All right. Picking it right back up.
So, are we going to start over?
No.
Oh,
we'll
good.
Use that. I just,
good.
You know, hope nobody notices.
Yeah.
Or maybe I can draw
you
it in.
You always look so handsome on the films.
Thank you.
You do. Well, you're
because
handsome anyway.
My side profile is not good. You know, I much prefer head on. I think, you know, this looks debonair, but then when it kind of gets like this, you kind of start to see Fred Flintstone, you know?
Oh, no.
But thank you for that compliment.
You're welcome.
We could be here all day just shooting compliments
yes,
back
we could.
And forth.
I had a good time with you at the Kane Theater.
We had a ball at that fashion show.
That
was a lot of fun. And we hammed it up, too. They gave me a scarf. And I, you know, I don't know if you saw from backstage, but when I turned to exit with that scarf, I like pivoted on one heel and threw it over my shoulder.
Oh,
know.
That was great.
Oh, the place went wild. That was a good time.
It was.
Good folks over at the Keene. And that is a great place to perform in. But we should mention where we're having the interview today is the Hillman Auditorium.
Yes.
Connected with the Hill House, the Kauffman Center.
Right. It's on Center Avenue, right behind the Consol Energy Center. I knew the building was here, but until recently, when we were asked to do a concert, I had never been in this building. The second I started doing a sound check, I fell in love with the room. And it is now my favorite performance room in the city because of the sound. I love it. The acoustics are great. Susie is wonderful to work with. So I hope to be working here.
I think that's got to be in the plans.
That's
got to
be
in the future.
Yes.
Now, what do you feel is, for a jazz vocalist such as yourself, what is the relationship between you and your audience when you walk out onto a stage?
Well, first of all, the audience is so important to me. Usually before a concert, I will go and mingle. I want to, you know, let them know how much I appreciate them coming out. And then when
before the show,
I will come out and give them a hug or tell them how much, you know, it means the world to me when someone comes and takes their time to come and to hear us perform. So when I come out on stage, my goal is to tell the story and then to interpret these beautiful lyrics that have been written by great artists and bring them to life. Tell the story and move them. Not make them want to move and leave, but to stay and want more. And every time I hear applause, it thrills me. It makes my heart race. I play with some of the best musicians in the country. And Pittsburgh has a wealth of talent, and it's wonderful. And for a vocalist especially that has a concert or some booking, to get the best musicians behind you.
Mm-hmm.
It's really important, and it's easy to do in Pittsburgh.
Now, being somewhat of an import, was that difficult to kind of get into the Pittsburgh jazz scene from the outside? I mean, you're in now, you know? I mean, yeah. I think, you know, you are one of the first names that comes to mind when I think Pittsburgh jazz.
Thank you.
So you've made it.
Thank you.
But was that difficult to break into that circle?
It actually was a little difficult. I'm an optimistic person. When I moved here in 1995, I had performed here a couple of times for private events. And 3 or 4 years before I moved, I had been in New York City with Promise Records, which was a subsidiary of RCA Records. So we had done video, and I'd had a national release. And even that didn't impress the powers that be that booked Pittsburgh Jazz. And so they said, no, you know, you're not. And even musicians, I would call, I'll never forget one of the pianists I called because he was highly recommended, and he said, no, I don't play with anybody I don't know. And I said, I understand, you know, I understand. And I eventually got people together, and we worked on the charts. And then before I knew it, these people who said no said, listen, you know, for great things that you're great to work with, and you call me. So it just started a little at a time. And I have to give kudos to one of the jazz vocalists here in Pittsburgh who is wonderful, and she's been voted by the city paper the best jazz artist in Pittsburgh, and it's Etta Cox.
Oh, yes.
Etta Cox, I have great respect for her. She knew that I was trying to get into the scene, and I would go listen to her. And the first time that I saw her do one of their shows, it was the Cotton Club show, I went, and the place was packed, and she was belting these songs and moving me to tears. And then she goes, ooh. She would always scan the room and look for other vocalists. Miss Donna Bailey, will you come up and sing? And I'm like, me? And she was wonderful to me. And to this day, we're good friends.
That's great.
Yes, I love her.
And, you know, Pittsburgh's got a pretty deep jazz history. So I think, you know, it's almost part of the turf to have to kind of break in. You know, it's got some jazz roots here.
It does. And you know, it's hard work to get that reputation built up that where people can trust you and they know that when they book you that you're going to run with it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's worth the trip. It really is. And so I encourage any young artist that's wanting to come up, or any age artist, do it. Get out there and do it. Let us know you're doing it, too, because a lot of us would be willing to help.
Mm-hmm. So we were talking a little bit before about, you know, how you got your start and, you know, came with the discovery that, you could sing, you know, you had talent. So what was it that really brought you to jazz as a form of music?
I know how to answer that because I had to think about it for a long time. I love all types of music. Being from West Virginia, grew up with bluegrass being played and country music, but there was a strong rock group there too. And so I grew up with the Beatles and the Stones. And I love that music, but when it comes to my style and my love for interpretation of beautiful lyrics, the old standards are my style. And I can't be anything else. I can't, how ridiculous would I look, you know, going out doing a rock song?
I think you could pull it off.
I could try it. But no, it's my style, and it's what makes me feel warm and fuzzy inside.
There you go.
And I'm very proud to be able to interpret and bring my arrangements to one of the greatest songs ever written. So,
are there particular artists out there that really inspire you?
Oh, yeah. I have to tell you, Ella Fitzgerald was my first inspiration. I was 9 years old in bed because I had an early curfew for school. And my parents had The Late Show on. And I, all of a sudden, I heard this woman singing. And I got up out of the bed. And it was Ella Fitzgerald. And she was singing, "I Can't Give You Anything But Love." I try to incorporate that song every concert that I do because that I kept saying, "Who is that? Who is that?" And I want to do that. And my mom said, "Well, you can do it after you go to bed," you know. But I'll never forget that. It brought me up out of bed.
These jazz greats like Ella Fitzgerald, I mean, absolutely legendary. And a lot of most of them are gone now.
I mean,
do you feel that it's an art that has gone away? Is it an art that's developed, evolved, changed? Is it still with us?
It's still with us. If you go online and look up jazz vocalists, they're everywhere, and people are catching on to it. Even young people are catching on to this wonderful American songbook. So I don't think it's dying. I think that we're changing it in ways that the internet has changed so many ways of getting your name out there and being available to people who are interested in hearing it, as well as hiring you to perform.
What defines jazz for you?
I think it's the guys who back me up. I love that upright acoustic bass. I drive from the bass. I could play all night long with just an acoustic bass. And the pianist, then the style that they play, the tasteful percussions in the background, that's jazz when everybody can hear everybody else. And we always say we have big ears on stage because we all listen to every little thing that's going on and we watch.
And but no showboating.
No. Never. Never.
Right answer. Well, 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 well played.
The funny thing is, though, I love Willie Nelson's song Crazy. And forever and a day, anytime I would be playing, somebody from the back of the room would say, "Sing Crazy."
So you go, "Bah!"
Yeah. Whoa. One night, one of the musicians says, "That's a country song." And I looked and I said, "Doesn't have to be." So the next year we went into the studio and I did my Becoming CD and we recorded Crazy as a samba. And it is my number one best-selling recording on iTunes to this day.
Yes, so we should mention you're on iTunes. We can listen to you anytime.
Yes.
At the click of a button.
That's right.
I do have some of your songs from iTunes. I do. I've got a couple of your albums. So the albums that you do have out now, and there's two, right?
Right. Two that I have out. The others I've just sort of put in on the bookcase.
Oh, okay. So yeah. the private stock.
The private stock, yes.
what is the first album?
The first one that is out on iTunes is called Becoming, Ballads, Bosses, Blues, and Beyond. And The Beyond was the song that I've always loved. Sergio Mendes in Brazil 66 had recorded it, and it's called Going Out of My Head Over You.
That is one of my favorites of yours.
Thank you. Thank you. And it did get radio play. That we called it And Beyond because we knew it wouldn't get radio play for on the jazz station. So one night I was coming in with groceries and had left the stereo on, and Tony Mowad said, "This is Pittsburgh's own Donna Bailey with Going Out of My Head Over You." And I dropped the eggs, called the guys, you listened to DUQ. It was so exciting.
So how does one, I guess, achieve that? You know, let's say I'm a jazz artist, I'm singing, I get an album cut. What do I do then? How do I get it on the radio? How do I get it sold? How do I get people to listen to me?
Oh, well, the first thing I did is a website so that people who were coming out to see me, I would have them to sign up if they'd like to have email blasts.
Your fans need an outlet.
They do. And I need the fans. I need to know how to reach the fans so that it's a two-way street. And so I have a deal with my fans. You give me your email address if you want to know where I'm going to be, and I promise you I will not send junk mail. I promise you. It's usually once a month I send something out. And most of them give me their snail mail address as well if I invite them to a CD release party. But the between the website and email, which is all, you know, internet related, we get the word out. Also, I can look up venues that actually would book our style of music, and I can contact them. Whenever I'm traveling for my other business in healthcare, I always look up the jazz clubs if I know I'm going to be there for a week and get booked into these. And I get to play with brand new musicians I've never played with, and we just become really good friends.
Right.
It's nice.
What is the second album?
The second album is Donna Bailey and Friends, and it featured 9 world-class musicians. In fact, Pittsburgh songwriter Lou Tracy and Joe Negri had written a song, and it's called All Because of You, and that's the title track. And Joe actually is in the beginning of the song and duet together, and then he plays in the song, and it's just so great. He's so talented, and Lou is such a talented writer. And I played with Yvonne Lins and his group from Brazil. We did Love Dance. Wayne Bergeron from Los Angeles, who is a trumpet player that has been in most all of Beyonce's CDs and the Disney films. And it's just great. And then my musicians, the normal musicians that I play with, it was Jason Holler on bass and Shuba Doss is on drums. Those two CDs had Mason Embry, but I also play with Joe DeFazio and Daniel May, and I'm just really blessed to play with these guys.
You strike me as someone who gets excited about collaboration in music.
That's the way it should be, because when one will take it one direction, somebody could take it in another, and you end up with this magic. It's magical to me. Every time we play, it never gets old. It never gets old.
And when I asked you your definition of jazz, you mentioned everybody else.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think that's a great philosophy. And you mentioned, too, that it's really all about listening, you know, to each other. There's a real camaraderie there.
There is. A couple of weeks ago, in fact, 2 weeks ago tonight. No, I can't remember when it was. However, Mike Tamaro, who is just one of the most talented composers and musicians in the city and head of music at the Duquesne University, had a fundraiser for pancreatic cancer. And he invited 6 vocalists and his 2 daughters to sing with the 23-piece Pittsburgh Jazz Orchestra. I felt like Francis Sinatra up there. It was wonderful to have all of that collaboration. And he did all of the arrangements for that evening.
Wow.
It was beautiful. So we're going to do it again next year.
Right,
so we'll have to let you know when that
is.
Oh,
I will be there. I will be there. Now, very exciting news from the world of Donna Bailey. Christmas time is upon us, and you have got a Christmas album coming out.
I do. I'm excited about it. It's been a work in progress because of everybody's schedule, but it's going to be really cool. It's different. It's really different.
And I think by the time that this interview reaches our listeners, it will be out and available.
It will be.
It's available now. And the tracks from this, I mean, is it classic Christmas? Is it classic with a twist? Is it completely nouveau? What's your style with this Christmas album?
It's traditional with a twist. In fact, when I sit back and listen to it, I have a love for Latin music. And there is so much of a Latin flair with all of this.
Feliz Navidad.
Well, I didn't do that one, but absolutely.
That's the spirit behind it.
That's right. It's beautiful. It is really beautiful. And one of my producer with this is Daniel May, and we recorded it at Maywood Studios here in Pittsburgh. And I wanted to do Baby It's Cold Outside. And so you have to be really particular with who you get to do a duet with you to make sure that your voices complement. So I think Pittsburgh is going to be excited when they find out Jimmy Ross did this song with me, and he is with the Jaggers and still performs, and they had the number one hit in the 70s called The Rapper. And we had such a good time with this song, and it's the most different version of Baby It's Cold Outside than you'll ever hear, ever.
And in fact, I believe we have it underscoring us now.
Absolutely.
So what you're hearing in the background is this very track, which you can have yourself for this Christmas season. Will it be available on iTunes?
Oh, this year, I don't think it's going to be available on iTunes, but I can get it to you. All you'd have to do is email me, and I will contact you and get a credit card, and it will be in the mail immediately.
What is your website?
My website is DonnaBaileyJazz.com.
Oh, good. It's easy.
It's very easy, and it says contact. Or you could email me at dbjazz@zoominternet.net.
And you'll know you're in the right place on this website, because on the front page is my favorite picture of all time. It's you sitting in a giant martini glass.
Absolutely.
Now, I know the table's small, but do you think we could replicate that?
I would love that. That has stimulated more conversation. People out of the blue will come up to me, and they'll have their phone. Were you really in that glass?
But it felt like it.
It felt like it. It absolutely did. That was a great idea to do. Of course, I love martinis.
Well, sister.
Yes.
Cheers.
Cheers. Cheers. But it's funny. I've had several nicknames over that. Funniest thing, a year ago I announced that there were going to be some changes with the website, and just some updates, and everybody that heard me say that said, do not take that picture off of your homepage. They love it.
What's in a Donna Bailey martini, besides Donna Bailey herself?
Well, my favorite is, I've got a new favorite, vodka. When I was in Tennessee, I learned to drink Tito's. It's really smooth.
I haven't had it.
It's the highest, smoothest rated in the world.
Really?
Yes. And I like them dirty, straight up with three olives, stuffed with cheese.
And dirty is olive juice, right?
Mm-hmm.
But does extra vermouth constitute as dirty as well?
But I'm not quite fond of it.
Yeah.
In fact, you can leave the vermouth out, shake it 78 times, pour it in, you know.
Now, see, I like mine very dry.
Okay.
Crystal clear.
All right. Yeah. Well, you know it's good. Vodka's good anyway.
It is. Yeah, and really, this is all for medicinal purposes.
It is.
Somehow.
It is. It clears the cobwebs, the bad ones, and leaves the good ones.
Yes, indeed. Yes. Now, what do you do for your voice? Do you any preparations, any exercises, or does it just come out beautiful every time.
Oh, thank you. I do warm-ups right before a performance, but I don't like to overdo it. And I teach voice class to a couple of young ladies, and I teach them that before you get, even in your choir, you need to do a warm-up, and most people do that. But that's just about it. I don't smoke. I've never smoked. I exercise. I do get rest, and I think just overall being healthy is good for the voice. Mm-hmm. If the body is in good shape, the voice could be too. I have some allergies going on right now. It's just been kind of nuts this fall. But
it's been a tough season for
but
it.
I love to sing. I love, and I'm grateful that I've been given that gift. It's a blessing.
So we've got the new Christmas album out. What's the next big thing for you?
Well, next year, I'm going to be working on traveling regionally. We want to hit New York, Washington, D.C. I think it would be, and over in Ohio, Cleveland, they have some really great things. And I really would like to work on another jazz CD. And I've written several songs.
Oh, really? Originals,
and,
then.
Yes, and a lot of people will ask me to write more. In fact, one of the reviews here in Pittsburgh, the reviewer said, "I'd like to hear more of your own."
That's great.
The one that is very popular and I get requests for is a song that I wrote called My Favorite Thing, and it's on the Becoming CD.
It's a blues.
It's a happy blues.
What is your favorite thing?
Oh, it's a list of them. You should hear that song.
So, favorite things, actually.
Yeah. Oh, but there is my favorite thing in the song, so
we'll have to listen.
It's called My Favorite Thing, so listen to it.
Yes, we'll have to listen to find out. What do you feel at this point in your career is your biggest challenge?
Finding the time, the balance of time to do everything I want to do. Music is therapy for me. You know, with my healthcare career, I take my hospice consulting very, very seriously, and it's very emotional. And so it's really wonderful that I can spend my day working with families and patients that really need this wonderful care, and then go home, change clothes, and hit the stage, and it's like going to the track and running. It makes you feel exhilarated, and that's my biggest challenge, is finding more time to be on the stage.
That's a great dynamic to balance those two careers. Do you feel that one complements the other, that they complement each other?
I do, and I get to use this gift too with music therapy, especially in the realm of Alzheimer's. We've done studies that late in the evening, I've done dinner shows, and then right before the show, they'll bring out a very advanced Alzheimer's residents, and they'll either sing along, but they always want to be there. And then later in the evening, we found out that they needed less medication for sleep. So it was therapeutic for them as much as it was for us. So music is therapy for everybody, no matter what kind you like, what style you like, it's your therapy.
What are you most proud of?
Most proud of with my music career? Or with my family. I'm so proud that my family is just wonderful, and we support each other, and my family's right there. I think one of the proudest moments of my life, as far as music is concerned, is when I was asked to perform for Dave Brubeck for his 86th birthday party at MCG. And I got to meet him and Iola when they walked in before their concert. And I had front row seats. And my husband and I were sitting in the front row. And when Dave came out, sat at the piano and started playing, I started throwing PVCs. I was so excited that I was 10 feet away from him. And then after the show, it was announced that we had a birthday party, and I had my band with me. And I was singing and looked, and here comes Debra back down and sits right in front of me. And I'm singing for him. And we actually developed a relationship, a friendship with he and his wife, and saw each other 4 or 5 times after that. But it was the proudest moment that of everybody, I'm standing here, what did I do to deserve this, you know? It was great. He's such a leader in changing the way jazz, the way we see jazz and hear jazz now.
How would you define your style?
Someone told me recently that it's very subtly enjoyable. I thought that was a different way of putting it.
Do you agree with that?
I am subtle compared to some voices. You know, I don't have that huge voice. Once in a while, I have my moments, especially when I'm really warmed. But it's I love that. I love that. And one show leads to 5 more. I did a show at the Stifle in Wheeling, West Virginia, on my birthday last year, and I've gotten 2 concerts from that. And people, it just makes me feel so good when they come out to hear us.
Now, there's an ad in the works here, that picture with you in the martini glass, and underneath it, subtly enjoyable. That actually, let's talk to Tito Vodka.
Yeah.
You could be the poster girl for Tito Vodka.
Wow.
And that's the ad right there. Tito Vodka and Donna Bailey, subtly enjoyable.
I like that photo. I like it. Let's do it.
I'm on the phone tomorrow.
Oh, right.
Excellent. Oh, well, good chatting with you.
Good chatting with you, too. You're adorable.
Oh, you're adorable.
Oh, thank you.
We're both adorable.
We are.
We need to go on tour together, I think. I'd love that.
Let's go.
I could, like, you know, announce you. I could do things like that.
Would love that.
I don't know if you want me singing with you, you know, unless it were a comedy bit.
Well, we could do that, too.
Yeah. Call me up. I'll be there.
I would love it. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Donna. In closing, we would like to once again thank our spectacular sponsors and strategic partners, Off the Wall Theater, Cefalo's Banquet and Events Center, Carnegie, Pennsylvania, Arcade Comedy Theater, Downtown, and BergVivant is a proud supporter of Firefly Arts, creating opportunities and support for families living with autism through innovative arts programming. Find out more and show your support at fireflyarts.org. And be sure to follow Pittsburgh's Cultural Talk magazine online. You can find BergVivant, the It in Pittsburgh, on Facebook, Twitter, or subscribe for free at www.bergvivant.com. This is Brian Edwards saying cheers and good night.